One of the questions that oftentimes comes up is this. What does it mean when the Bible says that the Jewish people are God's chosen people? What does that actually mean? What were you chosen to do?
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah. This is the Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. What are some of the stumbling blocks that make it difficult for the Jewish people to become followers of Jesus the Messiah? Well, Marty will discuss some of those issues in just a moment, but I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how you can receive some free resource material so that you can effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. Right now, let's rejoin Marty Zeid as he looks into God's Word for direction and guidance in improving our witness for the Lord here on The Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Messianic Voice program. We're coming to you from our headquarters here in St. Louis, Missouri. And our desire is to help you and assist you in ministering effectively to your Jewish friends and acquaintances. And I'm excited about today's program because we're starting a new series on questions and answers. These are questions that Gentile believers might have about Jewish people. I hope that these will be very, very helpful to you. So let's just go ahead and begin with the first question, and it's this. Do Jewish people need to believe in Jesus as the Messiah? Aren't they okay because they're God's chosen people? To phrase it another way, do Jewish people have to come to God through the Messiah Jesus? Now, for many of us, that would seem to be a very obvious answer to this question, but unfortunately, not so with many, many people. There are some who believe that the Jewish people don't have to come through Jesus, that they have another way. Gentile people need to come through Jesus Christ, but Jewish people come to God through Moses by keeping the law. For example, I want to read an article that I received as a result of somebody listening to a radio program, and they sent me this little clip from a newspaper that comes through their particular denomination, and the title of the little clip that this person sent me is this, Jews Already Saved. Scholars renounce conversion efforts. And here's what it says. An ecumenical group of Christian scholars last month issued a statement saying Jews can be saved without coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Jews are in an eternal covenant with God, said 21 members of the Christian Scholars Group on Christian-Jewish Relations. It said the group renounced missionary efforts directed at converting Jews. And this was a conclusion, which is a 10-point statement which they've entitled A Sacred Obligation, and it challenges the traditional Christian view of Jesus as Savior for all humankind. Now, I kind of understand where this group of people are coming from. They happen to come from a denomination that really has long abandoned the Word of God. They actually no longer believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the virgin birth. So for them to say that Jewish people don't need to come to faith in Jesus as the Messiah, that doesn't necessarily surprise me too much. These people are fairly easy to identify. However, here's another individual that I'm quoting from. This is a pastor of a large church. He's considered an evangelical, has a television ministry. And he was interviewed by the local newspaper in the city in which he ministers. And it was dealing with an issue which is called the Two Covenant Plan of Salvation. This is what this particular pastor holds to. He said, quote, I'm not trying to convert the Jewish people to the Christian faith. In fact, trying to convert Jews is a waste of time, he said. The Jewish person who has his roots in Judaism is not going to convert to Christianity. He goes on to say that there, in his opinion, there is no form of Christian evangelism that has failed so miserably as evangelizing the Jewish people. They already have a faith structure. This individual, this pastor, believes that everyone else, whether you're Buddhist or Baha'i, needs to believe in Jesus, but not Jews. Jews already have a covenant with God that has never been replaced by Christianity. The Jewish people have a relationship to God through the law of God as given through Moses, end quote. Now, that scares me a little bit more because this person, as I said, is recognized as an evangelical. You could go to most any Christian bookstore and his books would be there. But my question would be, if I would have the opportunity to talk to him in person, is this: have you ever read the book of Galatians? You're telling me that a Jewish person does not have to come to personal faith in the person of the Messiah Jesus, but rather just simply try to keep the law of Moses and be as good as you possibly can. And yet it's so clear in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, where it says, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." So to, again, ask the question, do Jewish people need to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, or can they simply come another way to God through the law of Moses and so forth? According to the Bible, they can't. They have to come through the person of the Lord Jesus. It tells us clearly in the book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 12, where it says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." So how can a person who's from a Jewish background find another means of salvation outside of the person of the Messiah Jesus? You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, where he says, "I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father but by me." So can Jewish people enter into a personal relationship with God the Father without coming through his Son, the Messiah Jesus? The answer is no. It doesn't matter who says what. That's clearly what the scriptures teach. So, in answer to the first question, yes, Jewish people do have to come to personal faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Question number two, is it true that it was the Jewish people who killed Jesus Christ? I know this is a question that has really been thought of and asked for probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. There are certain people groups that want to blame the Jewish people that Jesus was crucified. But what does the Bible actually say on this point? And I'm glad that there is a very clear verse in the book of Acts that speaks to this issue. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 27, and listen carefully what the writer says. He says, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel." Did you notice what it says here? You notice what Luke said? It was Herod. It was Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel. So it would be wrong for us to point our finger to one people group and blame them with the idea of crucifying Jesus. It is true that there were Jewish people standing in crowd and they were yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." We're not trying to remove any responsibility at all from the people of Israel. They certainly were guilty, and the Gentiles were guilty, along with the leaders, the political leaders of that day. Now, when I ask this question, one of the things that comes to my mind, when I do come across people who want to pin the Jewish people with all of the blame on the crucifixion of Jesus, I have to ask myself, what's really in their heart? What are they really thinking? Could it be that there might be some kind of underlying negative anti-Semitic feelings that they might have towards the Jewish people by wanting to blame them 100% for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus? I hope that wouldn't be the case, but unfortunately, I kind of have a feeling that that might be what's really going on there. So I want us to be clear that the Jewish people are not guiltless. They are guilty, but not only are the Jewish people guilty of seeing to it that the Lord Jesus was crucified, but it was the leadership as well. It was Herod, it was Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles. Now let's take it even a step further. When we consider the purpose as to why the Lord Jesus was incarnated, why he came, why he left the splendors and the glory of heaven and came to this earth. We need to ask ourselves, why did he do that? Well, the scriptures are clear. It tells us that he came into this world to save sinners. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. And of course, that's every human being. So when we understand the fact that the Lord Jesus came to die for sinners, and I'm a sinner, and everybody else is a sinner, then we could all take a little bit of the guilt concerning the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. But that's looking at it from a humankind, a mankind perspective. When you look at it from God's perspective, this was according to God's plan and program. The book of Revelation tells us that the Lord Jesus, from God's perspective, was crucified before the foundation of the world. The book of Acts tells us clearly that when it comes to the ministry of the Lord Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, it was something that was foreordained and planned in the eternal purposes of God. So when you think about it from those perspectives, it would be wrong for us to try to point our finger and blame any one particular people group. So in answer to the question, is it true that it was the Jewish people who killed Jesus Christ? Yes, but not only the Jewish people. It was all of the people, the Gentiles, the leaders, and everyone else from that day and this day onward as well. Question number three, and this is a question that I'm asked quite often when I travel, when I speak around the country in different churches. One of the questions that oftentimes comes up is this: what does it mean when the Bible says that the Jewish people are God's chosen people? What does it mean? What is that actually referring to? Well, before I answer the question, I want to go ahead and first of all establish the fact that the Bible does in fact teach that God did choose the Jewish nation. And there are many, many verses that I could turn to that would help us to see this truth. But I'm going to turn us back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, where it says, "The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." So clearly, Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 and 8, teaches that God did indeed choose the Jewish people. He did so because it was his sovereign choice. It wasn't because the Jewish people were more in number. They were the fewest of all the peoples. But it's because God chose sovereignly to make a covenant promise with Abraham. It had nothing to do with Abraham himself. It was simply a sovereign decision upon God. So the fact that God chose the Jewish people is taught throughout the Word of God. In fact, this is actually something that Jewish people have a little bit of understanding. If you were to talk to a person from a Jewish background and ask them concerning the idea of being chosen, the chosen people, they understand that. They know that they are the chosen people. But take it a step further and ask them, well, what does that actually mean? What were you chosen to do? And that's what I want to attempt to answer for us today, because unfortunately, a lot of our Jewish friends would not be able to give a concrete biblical answer to that question, why were you chosen? But I think the Word of God is very, very clear as to the purposes of God in this matter. Well, when you read the Word of God, when I've gone through it and I think about this question of God's choosing the people of Israel, there are three major reasons that comes to the surface as to why God chose them. And the first one pertains to the Word of God. And God used the nation of Israel to give to the world his inerrant, divine, authoritative Word. The Word of God came through the Jewish people. It says in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then what advantage has the Jews? Or what is the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God." God used the Jewish people, the prophets, the Old Testament, the writers of the New Testament. Virtually every writer of the Bible was from a Jewish background, with the possible exception of Luke. So God used them in a very, very wonderful way to bring to us the revealed Word of God. It says in Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20, it says this: He declares His words to Jacob, His statutes and His ordinances to Israel. And listen to this: He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as for His ordinances, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. That's what it says in Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20. God declared His words to Jacob, and His statutes and His ordinances to Israel. This was a unique thing. This was a blessing that God did for the people of Israel. He hasn't dealt thus with any nation, it says. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you appreciate your Bible? Those of us who know the Lord and love Him, don't you love reading the Word of God and learning the wonderful truths of who God is and what He expects of us and how we could enter into a closer and a closer fellowship and relationship with Him? Well, that's because God sovereignly chose the Jewish nation and gave to them His oracles. You know, we cannot be left up to our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own ways concerning how we come to our understanding of who God is and what He expects of us. We're dependent upon His divine revelation. So that's why the Word of God is such a blessing. And through the meticulous and careful work of the scribes and the early Jewish followers of the Messiah, today we have a very reliable and trustworthy Bible. So point number one concerning why God chose the Jewish people, it was to give us His Word, a written form of the Word of God. A second reason as to why God chose the Jewish people pertains to the Messiah Jesus Himself. God used the nation of Israel to give to the world the one and only Redeemer of mankind. The Messiah Jesus came through the Jewish nation. Jewish people are even aware of this. If you were to ask the average Jewish person, well, what nationality was Jesus when He was walking the earth? They would be able to tell you that He was from a Jewish background. But we even have a greater authority than that. We have the Word of God itself. It tells us in Romans chapter 9, verses 3 through 5, that Paul says this: For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ, for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, and from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So Romans 9, verses 3 through 5 clearly states that the Messiah Jesus came through the nation of Israel. The Word of God teaches that according to the flesh, Jesus was born from the Jewish nation. And God chose the nation of Israel to be the nation through which the Messiah would come. I haven't found too many people who denies this. Most people that I've come in contact simply believes what the Word of God says. They know that Jesus was Jewish. He celebrated the Passover as He was growing up. He was went to the temple when He was 13, similar to a bar mitzvah service. He did Jewish things because He was from a Jewish background. So God used the Jewish people to give to us the Word of God and to give to us the Messiah. And let me share one thing that I have found very effective, and this is just a little bit of a rabbit trail, but I think you'll appreciate this before I give the third reason as to why God chose the Jewish people. But sometimes people will ask me, well, Marty, I've got a Jewish neighbor, I've got a Jewish doctor, I have a Jewish acquaintance, and I don't even know where to begin. Where do I start? Well, one of the things that I recommend that people do is that they go out to a card shop. For example, during the time of a Jewish holiday, such as Passover or Hanukkah or the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, or the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, you could go out to a card shop and find cards that are specifically designed to wish your Jewish acquaintance a happy Hanukkah or a happy Passover or whatever the holiday is, and get them a nice card. And then in your own words, you could express to them something like this. You know, I've never told you this before, but I have a deep appreciation for your people, the people of Israel. I'm so thankful because through you came to me something which is very, very precious, my Savior, the Messiah, Jesus, and the very Bible that I love to read came through your people, the people of Israel. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for that and let you know that I have a deep appreciation for your people and also to wish you a happy Passover or a happy Hanukkah, whatever the holiday seems to be. And I would almost guarantee you that the next time you see your friend that you sent this card to, that they're going to bring this up and they're going to say, what are you talking about? And hopefully it will give you the opportunity in person to be able to say to them, thank you. Thank you. But I also want to help you understand your need for the Messiah Jesus. So that's just one way to effectively break the ice with your Jewish acquaintance. Well, I gave two reasons so far as to why God chose the Jewish people. The fact that he gave us the word of God through them, and from a human standpoint, the Messiah Jesus came from the nation of Israel. And here's a third reason as to why God chose the Jewish people. They are going to be missionaries to the world. God intended for Israel to be a light to the Gentile nations by bringing them the very message of salvation through the Messiah Jesus. Now, you know, so far, they haven't done this. This has not been fulfilled yet. The first two have been fulfilled. We have the Word of God. We have the complete final revelation from God that came to us through the Jewish people. And of course, the Messiah has come. So those two have been fulfilled. This third one, when they're going to be the missionaries to the world, still awaits fulfillment. Now, when do I believe this is going to take place? Now, this is my opinion. I believe it's going to take place in a future time in what's called the tribulation period. One of the things that the book of Revelation tells us in Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 10, is that God is going to save 144,000 Jewish people. It goes on and it tells us that there's going to be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel saved. And I believe that during that time, God is going to specially seal them and protect them because there's going to be a lot of things going on, a lot of dangerous things for believers going on during the tribulation period. But he's going to miraculously save these 144,000 Jewish people. Now, again, I believe this is after the church has been taken out of here, that we've been raptured up to be with the Lord forever, and he's going to save these 144,000 Jewish people. And within a seven-year period, they will do what the church has not done in 2,000 years, and that's bring the message of salvation to every single creature who's living at that time. Again, this awaits a future fulfillment. During this time, what the Bible calls, what I believe is called the tribulation period, the seven-year period, when Antichrist is going to be going in full force and so forth and so on. Not only will they be witnesses during the tribulation period, but also in the millennium as well, that thousand-year period when the Lord Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning here upon the earth. It says in the book of Zechariah that 10 people from the nations, from the Gentile nations, will grab hold of the skirt of him who is a Jewish person and say, come, let us go with you so we may seek to know and understand more of the Lord. So that still awaits a future fulfillment. Well, I see that our time is almost gone and we only got through three questions, so there's going to be more to come in our next program. Why did God give us all of these wonderful truths? So we could understand them better and so we could use them when God gives us the opportunities to witness to our Jewish acquaintances. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, may God richly bless you.
The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out our resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio resources designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. We offer home Bible studies, Jewish evangelism seminars, and free tracts that you may pass along to your Jewish friends. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. That's MidwestMessianicCenter.org. Or write to us at MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. And be sure to request a copy of our Evangelism magazine and newsletter. Once again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.